Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to finding God's answers in the midst of adversity.
Sounds like a good topic to me for a marvelous Monday.
You know, honey, one of my favorite Bible stories growing up was about Jonah and the whale. Jonah was an 8th century prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. God directed Jonah to Nineveh, where he was to preach repentance to the Assyrians. Well, they were meaner than a junkyard dog. The Assyrians were evil, cruel. Did I say evil? Heartless, evil. Say it again. And idolatrous. And yes, I did say evil. Jonah didn't want to preach repentance to the Assyrians. He wanted them wiped off the face of the earth. He wanted the people of Nineveh to have a Sodom and Gomorrah experience. Needless to say, Jonah wasn't too happy about them having the opportunity to miss hell. Scripture doesn't say why Jonah hated the Assyrians, but he did. Jonah was a prophet. But he kind of missed it when he came to foretelling what was in his future. His hatred must have been intense because he refused the assignment to Nineveh and called the first boat out of town. Once again, what kind of prophet thinks he can refuse to do what God says or that he can run away where they won't find him? Jonah bought passage on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship to Tarshish.
I have a little fun. I know how you like to bring it down to our realities.
Jonah 1:3, classic Amplified. But Jonah rose up to flee. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. From being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet, he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, the most remote part of the Phoenician trading places then known. So he paid the appointed fare, went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his servant and his minister. No doubt, Jonah was enjoying his cruise, the activities on the Lido deck, the midnight buffet. But things began to change pretty quickly. Jonah 1:4, classic Amplified. But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea. There was a violent tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. When the storms of life come up, those who may have been previously kind to you change as quickly as the wind. Jonah 1:5, classic Amplified. Then the mariners were afraid, and each man cried to his God, and they cast the goods that were in the ship into the sea to lighten the load for them. But Jonah, going down in the inner part of the ship, and laid down and was fast asleep. If it were Jonah at this particular time, if I were him, I believe I'd have been in the dry corner of the ship, repenting for my disobedience to God's directions. Jonah didn't have a long nap. Jonah taking a nap in the middle of a storm made the captain and crew wonder about his motivation. Jonah 3:6-9. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down us? They demanded. Who are you? What line of work are you in? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Verse 9, Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. See, when facing adversity, sometimes we get so caught up in the trials that we forget to look for an answer and solve our problems. Well, a woman was driving through the mountains of North Carolina one winter. She ran into a snowstorm. Became very frightened of her circumstances. She looked through the heavy snowfall and she made out a snowplow in front of her. This woman kept as close to the snowplow as possible. However, at times the snow was so heavy that it interfered with her view of the snowplow and the road in front of her. But the woman stayed right behind that snowplow, even at times when the snow was so heavy that she almost lost her guide. After about 30 minutes, the snowplow stopped. The driver got out and walked back to the lady's car. The snowplow operator asked the woman where she was going. The woman replied she was on her way to Goldsboro, North Carolina. The driver smiled and said, "Ma'am, you're never going to get there following me because I'm plowing the parking lot in this mall." When facing adversity, needing answers, make sure you don't limit your search to Google or Wikipedia, where you might get some of the answers that you need. When dealing with the storms of life, you need to hear from the one who made all the people. Here are 7 keys to finding God's answers in every adversity.
Amen. Number 1, look to God for answers, and that being first. Jonah 1 verse 10 says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this you have done?' For the men knew that he had fled from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet and servant, because he told them." You know, wow, never look to a man or a woman for your answer. They might have something that they could give you, but the point of it is
they won't give you the real answer.
That is just about what I was going to say. They're not going to have the one that you totally need unless God was directing them, that's for sure. And how can you know? The point is, we were created in God's image and after his likeness, so that it stands to reason that if there's a problem in our lives, we need to check with the one who made us and the manufacturer's instruction manual first, which is the Word of God. When we look to God, he gives us peace in the midst of the storm, and really no matter how intense it is, if we are looking to him. Philippians 4 verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Notice how that says live in Christ.
Yes.
Isaiah 26:3. Classic Amplified Bible. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." I really need to almost express that again. Whose mind, a person whose mind, its inclination, who's the first person we go to, and its character, meaning the character of God is being chiseled in it, is stayed on God, because he commits himself to God, leans on God, and hopes confidently in God.
That's good.
Key to finding peace and protection in every situation is to put and go to God first.
Number 2, be honest about your situation. Did you contribute either intentionally or unintentionally to the situation you're facing? Jonah 1:11-12, New Living Translation. "Since the storm is getting worse all the time, they ask him, 'What should we do to stop this storm?' 'Throw me in the sea,' Jonah said, 'and it will become calm again.'" Hallelujah. He went on to say, the scripture goes on to say, "I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Look, when we mess up, we must fess up so we can get up and move on. 1 John 1:7-9. 1 John 1:7-9. In the Classic Amplified. "But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin and all its forms and manifestations." 9, If we freely admit that we've sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will and purpose, thought, and action. Repentance is the first step toward healing.
Number three, refrain from trying to take charge. Wow. Sometimes that's hard, but it's necessary. When the sea got rough, the crew of the ship tried to solve the problem using their natural abilities. They threw all the stuff overboard. You know, they weren't looking and didn't seek a spiritual solution. They were just taking and trying matters in their own hands. Jonah 1:13, Classic Amplified says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not, for the sea became more and more violent against them." When we get all up in trying to solve our own problems, when we start taking matters in our own hands, we're going to get it done. Things can really go from bad to worse.
And often do.
And if we're not careful. The technological advances of our time have made us, well, power down generation. And if things don't work the way they're supposed to, then we feel helpless and aggravated. Jonah 1:14 goes on, this in the Living Bible, goes on to say this: "Then they shouted out a prayer to Jehovah," Jonah's God. "Oh, Jehovah," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, for it is not our fault. You have sent the storm upon him for your own good reasons." The crew of the ship knew things were beyond their control, so they prayed to Jehovah, Jonah's God. You know, when we recognize that God has what's under control in his control, our answer is really already on the way. In the midst of life's storms, we are going to have to trust, and I mean trust, the Lord God.
Say that again.
In the midst of life's storms, the best thing to do for all of us is to trust God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the key.
That's it.
Guess what?
We're not going to finish
this. We're not going to finish this. We'll do it tomorrow.
On a tremendous Tuesday.
Tremendous Tuesday. Think on these things.
Yeah.
And how you can deal with adversity. Hallelujah.
And come out on top.
Every time.
Amen.
Every time. Well, until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.